Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. We've also got Justin Fick.
Gentlemen.
Now, guys, before we start this show, I just need to let you know right now, Blake Buck is sober, and that is not a good place to start a podcast.
That is unacceptable.
Now, Blake Buck, why are you sober tonight?
I got me some Portal 2, and I started playing it, and then, like, suddenly it was podcast time, and I didn't even drink tonight. I know. Normally, once the sun goes down, the fifth comes out. But it was cloudy today. I wasn't really paying attention. I'm trying to catch up now, so don't worry. Anyway, this is your best damn podcast for...
It's 420 even, Blake Buck. What's wrong?
Oh, no. I don't do that. certainly not at the same time. This is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, April 27th, 2011. Either of y'all like smoking pot? This is off the air.
Not really. Like, the very few times that I've smoked, I've been just blackout drunk already.
I see, that's when I like smoking weed, is when I'm like fucking gone. Because if I don't, it's like I get so fucking paranoid. It's awful, dude. It's like I gotta go home and play solitaire. Oh my God, if I don't beat this solitaire game, everybody's going to know how high I am.
Now see, I enjoy it.
The cards are coming off the screen!
What the fuck are you smoking?
They're bouncing off the screen!
I don't think that's weed you're smoking at that point. someone laced some poo-poo in there or something.
Well, look, here in the South, that is a
government experiment.
In the South, that's a common money-saving technique. What? We can't put this on there. What happened? Somebody do news, quick. All right, I will.
All right.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I got it. So, I'm still on this. So, Netflix and Kinect. So, y'all all remember when the Kinect commercial came out. And it was like, Xbox, fast forward, and, you know, Xbox, play my favorite movie. And he's like, people shouting at the TV, telling it what to do, and waving their
Xbox,
arms, and Netflix
I love
was
you.
Going. Yeah, like, that's the future.
Xbox, so, jerk anyway. Me off.
Exactly. So, you know, Xbox comes out with Kinect, and none of that shit is supported. And so 6 months later...
Whoa, wait. Now, just to set the record straight... You're saying in Netflix that wasn't supported because in Zune Marketplace videos, which I want to just fucking stab myself in the eye when I say that, but in the Zune Marketplace video, you could do those features.
You ever think about what happened to the Zune guys? Like, I'm sure there was this team of probably 40 to 100 people that just were so excited about Zune. And now look what
they ended up joining some sort of Heaven's Gate cult or something and drank Kool-Aid.
God, we can only hope so.
They all drank Kool-Aid.
Had like four quarters in their pocket when they found them.
Lord Zune, take us away. Yeah, that's those guys, right? I feel
well, you know,
so yeah, it probably is some sort of Scientology thing because, I mean, Zune is basically Xenu backwards.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But
no, look it up.
Not exactly.
I read that in a documentary somewhere.
Anyway, I was reading this thing about Apple, and I know how you guys just fucking Steve Jobs and blow Steve Jobs, and I don't want to join that camp, but it was an article, Steve Jobs was talking at some university, and he's like, whenever we make any of our products, we have to make it the absolute best it can be, because if we don't, we're like everybody else, and that's sort of like what the Zune is. It's like, we wanted to be an iPod, but we got halfway there, and we like, didn't give a shit.
Yeah, they were talking about they don't do consumer trade shows for that reason. Like, you go to CES or something, and you'll see, like, 50 tablets on the show floor. Mm. Each one of them just a hacked-together prototype that does something cool on the show floor but probably won't ever make it to market. And it makes these companies like Samsung and Toshiba and all these, they just look bad.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
and
like, companies,
does
like,
not
companies
do that.
Like Microsoft, they have a kind of a different strategy. Is they want to get something out and then iterate on it. Because you start off with, you know, things like the Xbox One or, you know, the Zune or something. But then in a certain number of iterations, you'll have the Xbox 360. You know, like the Xbox One, I mean, I thought it was a piece of shit. And the Xbox 360 is great.
It had Halo. And Blood Wake. Blood Wake 2. I can't wait. Somebody bring that shit back.
So, anyway, we all thought that this was going to be awesome, right? We could control our Netflix like Star Trek or some shit. Sadly, that is not how it works. When you boot up Netflix, the only thing you get to do with the Kinect controls is you get to gesture control a small list of pre-generated suggested titles for you. And if you want to do any kind of searching or browse other categories or anything like that, you got to pick up the controller. And then you get to scrub through the movie back and forth while it's playing using the hand gestures. I just think it's like, I don't remember what blog I read this on, but they did this test where they saw how long it would take you to find a movie and play it with Kinect versus the controller. And it's like orders of magnitude faster and easier with the controller.
Well, I mean, and also I went and hung out, you know, over a friend's place who has the Kinect, and you know, like we were just chatting in front of the television, and you know, a friend started talking with her hands, and that started controlling the Kinect behind her.
Dude,
and meanwhile, the fucking Kinect is going into epileptic seizures in the background.
Dude, I got to tell you guys about this game I made up one night when I was drunk with my Kinect. All right, what you do? You drink about, I don't know, half of a fifth. That's my standard amount these days.
A tenth, if you will.
You drink a tenth. And you look at your Xbox, and you try and say, you know, if you say the word Xbox, it says, what's up, right? And it's like got a little thing where it's listening. But you try and say other words to try and see how much you can distort it, but it still picks it up, right? Big cocks.
Sex Rex
Strex locks. I did this for about 6 hours one night, laughing the entire time.
X-lax.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, it's an art. Somebody play this and tell me about it. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. But what I did want to say about the Netflix thing, though, Wayne Miller. Now you're poo pooing on this, and I understand. I poo poo on it too, but it's an improvement over nothing. It was nothing before, right?
No, it was a controller before.
Dude, yeah, it's a controller. It's a regression.
You can still use the controller.
How they expect me to interact with this device, it's stupid.
You can still use the controller. I mean,
it's a gimmick.
It is, but here's my whole thing about the Kinect. It is a gimmick right now. The Kinect is a gimmick. I hope, and I actually do believe that eventually, maybe not this current hardware generation. Maybe there's a limitation on how fast it processes, or what. I've read articles saying all sorts of things. But that hand gestures and technology like that, you know, the second or third iteration of the Kinect will be fantastic. And I think small steps are important.
There's also a possibility for, you know, this being useful in the sense that, for instance, on my setup, I have my Xbox and my television all hooked into my universal remote. So most of the time, like if I'm just specifically firing up to play Netflix, I'm not even going to bring my controller out. I bust out this universal remote, which is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great.
Xbox universal remotes are really good.
Not an Xbox remote. It's
oh, okay.
So it's not made for the Xbox, but it's like, you know, it has like the little custom buttons at the top that will be like the ABXY. So it's not great. So I mean, I can see like with that, I would navigate to Netflix with that thing and then start whipping my dick out and controlling Netflix that way. So I mean, it's possible, but
there's something, okay, like when you scrub through the movie with your hand, that's actually really, really, really cool. Because have you ever tried to like fast forward through Netflix? It's so awkward because it's got to like load up the images on each side, and then it takes a second to buffer. And my internet's slow as shit anyway, so it's very awkward. But the hand gesture is very, I don't know, you can control.
How does the hand gesture fix any of
okay,
that?
Okay, well, okay.
Like you just named bandwidth problems.
No. Just wait. My problem with the thing is, okay, let's assume bandwidth is not a problem. You scroll forward and faster at different speeds using the triggers, right? But with the hand gesture, you put your hand up, and the entire length of the movie is an amount of space. So if I instantly want to go to the end, I move my hand all the way to the end. Or if I instantly want to go to the beginning, I move my hand all the way to the beginning, and I can scrub through as fast as I want based on the position of my hand. And right, and that's what this technology should be. It should be making interacting with this with technology easier. Right now, it's more difficult, but I think eventually we will hit a point, you know, where what's his name? Tom Cruise in a Minority Report. I want it.
What I don't understand about this, like you were saying, Justin Fick, like put a product out there and iterate it on it. Like, why do that? Why would you put a product out there that's clearly broken and not what it should be? When it's just going to kill your consumer confidence. I just don't like it. Works so well for Apple not to do that. How come other companies just don't look at that and say,
I think it works well for Microsoft to do that. I'm not sure how it works, but I mean, it seems to be, I mean, like we got the Xbox 360 out of it, you know, one might argue
I didn't think Xbox 360 was that bad. I mean, I think they put out a solid product with the Xbox, but compared to like, you know, this Kinect thing or the Zune, like these are just like half-assed, you know, whatevers. Or are there, you know, their tablet that they keep?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Zune like, was just doomed. And like the Kinect just feel, yeah, you're right. The Kinect feels like it's unfinished.
Well, I think it's, I mean, this, I mean, I hate when we're having like a real debate and then I bring in some nonsense into it. But I mean, it's the whole idea of like, you know, well, do you wait for something to reach its full potential and then release it? Or do you wait for it to reach its full potential and end up never releasing it? I mean, you got to find, even Apple who acts like, oh, we don't release it till it's perfect. They have to put out products. You know, a company has to put out products. Even Steve Jobs himself has said, great artists ship. That's one of his, you know, great quotes, right? I mean, there is a need to produce things. You can't, I mean, Shigeru Miyamoto said, I never finish a game. I just say, oh well, I ship it.
I guess the big difference, like they kind of operate the same way. I guess the big difference is Apple shows their cards at the right time, where Xbox either Microsoft either shows their cards too early or releases their device prematurely. I think that's the deal, and it just blows my mind.
Well, at the same time, you say that, but I mean they made hand over fist this holiday season on the Kinect, and maybe perhaps long term they won't make as much money, but I mean
it might be an image thing too, because I mean Apple really wants to have the image of having the top tier products, you know, like the designer consumer electronics. So they're not even going to show you anything that's half finished. Or, you know, it's half-assed. Like, it just doesn't make it out of development for them.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's like the same kind of product development is going on in both places. It's just one is being dumb about it, and the other is being smart. That's just, like, what I see. And it's not just Microsoft. It's, like, lots of tech companies are guilty of this. But anyway.
My mother always said, don't put your chicken before your egg, baby.
What does that even mean?
Oh, you weren't here when we were talking about egg babies. Never mind.
Oh, well, I listened to that. Okay, I see. The egg baby.
Callback, son. Anyway, anything else on this this nonsense?
It's basically they took shitty Waggle controls and stuck them into your menus.
It'll get better. All right? It will get better, the Kinect.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that. But right now, it blows.
It does. A story I have just to build on that Netflix nonsense. Apparently, Gamefly, I didn't even know this. This story must have slipped through the cracks. Gamefly has been in a 2-year dispute with the United States Postal Service over. Apparently, they were giving preferential treatment to Netflix and Blockbuster over Gamefly shipments and stuff, and made them go through some extra process that slowed it down for customers. Then they accused them of having favoritism because of, you know, insider, blah, blah, blah. So apparently that's all been cleared up. Judge ruled that they have to receive the same treatment. Does anybody even use Gamefly? I don't even know why we're talking about this, really.
I canceled my account with them a long, long time ago, and I don't regret it.
What?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know.
I guess if you'd have to play a lot of games to really get the full benefit of Gamefly.
Yeah, like the thing is, I just don't play games fast enough to warrant Gamefly.
Right. Yeah. If you finish a game every 2 weeks, Gamefly is a great deal. But I mean, I'm gonna be on Portal for like 2 years.
Yeah, the puzzles are hard. What happened with me is, you know, I kind of started up Gamefly, and I already had a backlog of like 50 games that I needed to beat, and really just ended up being, you know, renting some shitty game for $25 a month that just sits on my fucking desk, you know, collecting dust with the rest of things, and it's, you know, it was always some piece of garbage too that I rented just for the purpose of achievement points.
Well, I'm sure that somebody out there, it's the perfect thing for, so, you know, let us know. I want to, Gamefly, you know, one best thing about Gamefly is they do have those deals every now and then where they sell off a bunch of their used games.
Yeah, I mean, a really good place to buy used games from.
Yeah, I mean, you can, usually a game like 6 months after it comes out, Gamefly will sell it for $15 or something.
Yeah, I think I got Mass Effect for like $15 or $20 or something.
Don't like them used games, y'all. Come on.
Well, somebody's got to buy them.
We can't endorse that.
Yeah, well, especially now with all these lockdown on the codes and whatnot, everybody's adding all.
Yeah, that's another reason not to use Gamefly. You're gonna get a game and you can't fucking play it online because you have to pay an extra $10 to do that.
Right. Anyway, just Vic, what you got for us?
All right. Well, I have I got two related news stories. So the first one is. There are rumors that Nintendo is going to announce their new console at the next E3. So the Wii 2, it's being codenamed Project Cafe. So it's rumored to be more powerful than the current HD consoles of this generation. So more powerful than the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Can we just stop for a second? Project Cafe? Like, Nintendo just has a track record of the stupidest names.
I don't know. The Wii's was pretty cool. Revolution.
The Revolution. And then they had the Dolphin before that and the Ultra 64. But what are some other... Let's think for a minute. We had the Xenon, I think. Wasn't that the 360's code name?
That was a fucking awesome code name.
Did the PlayStation 3 have a code name? Maybe it did.
Emotion Engine. No, that was PS2. No, that's what they call their.
You're thinking of PS2. Blaze Processing from Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, they called the chipset in PlayStation 2 the Emotion Engine.
Ooh.
Emotions.
So they say it's going to be more powerful. Now, is this rumor or is this announced or where is this coming from? Just fig.
This is according to sources that a British site called CVG has posted. So it's quote from a source, but it's still kind of hearsay. Now, the other thing, in general,
rumors in the gaming industry are I would say about 80% true, though.
Yeah, it's like hearing rumors in video game RPGs. They're always true.
Yeah. I hear a rumor there's a dragon you may have to slay. Okay, I got it.
It's that either hear the rumor or it's a fairy tale. It's a wives' tale. If it's a wives' tale, you know I'm going to have to battle it by the end of this story arc.
All right, so it's more powerful than the 360 and the PS3, right?
Yep. The other big rumor about this is the controller. So the controller will, according to rumor, be a tablet, which they're calling an iPad with buttons.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Now hang on, before you poo-poo on all that.
Oh god, I'm burning.
One of the best experiences Nintendo has ever delivered to me was playing Crystal Chronicles for the first hour, at least, with a DS and a bunch of my friends. Like when everybody had their own DS and you had the Crystal Chronicles tape, that was awesome because everybody had a different HUD on their DS.
Well,
and it was fun. It was a cool
idea. I remember playing, was it Four Sword Adventures, the one you plug your Game Boy Advance SP into, and it made you go up and down like between the two screens, and that was just a pain in the fucking ass.
Well, let's assume this is true, because now this is a pretty big like announcement. Like there, I'm like, I don't know, because usually when you hear, the less specific a rumor is, the more likely it is to be true. This one's very specific. And now that I'm hearing more about it, it doesn't seem like this is true. But assuming it is, this seems like a terrible, terrible decision to make. Like,
I mean, there are some cool possibilities that open up. I mean, just being able to have a video game with imperfect information, so you could theoretically play poker, you know, like around one television, or, you know, something like Magic the Gathering, where every player has, you know, cards that cannot be seen by other players. You can that suddenly opens that type of game up. But I don't know, it just seems like it's very, very gimmicky, and a lot of people are not going to know how to use it. I think it's just going to, I don't know.
And yeah, I mean, unless you're going to ship with, you know, I think that this rumor comes because Nintendo has always been, you know, about connectivity between handheld and console, even though they fucking hadn't really done much with it in the past entire life cycle of the Wii. I mean, well, are there even any games that connect to the Wii? I mean, how hard would that be to implement? Not that, and yet we don't see it anywhere, I don't think, unless somebody knows otherwise. But, like, I can see how, like, Nintendo being, like, really strong in the handheld market might try something like this, but, oh, it seems like such a mistake.
Well, here's the other thing, though. I mean, they can really fix their current controller issues, which is over-dependence on their Wiimote, their waggle controls. Like, if they just had a controller that was the bottom half of a DS Lite, and that was their official controller, just basically Super Nintendo controls with a screen in the middle, like, that could be kind of cool.
That's kind of what this sounds like. I mean, that's what, I mean, if they said with, because didn't it say with buttons on it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems like that's basically what they're getting at.
I mean, like, if they want to go like a full on touchscreen only route, then you know now you're starting to lose me.
You know who? There's a certain game company out there who had this idea before.
I know
a
it's
little
coming.
Screen on your controller while you played games, revolutionary at the goddamn time. And it was called the Sega Dreamcast, and it was by goddamn the best system ever made. No, I think,
dude, that thing had like 10 total pixels on the screen. Like, you couldn't even draw text them. On that thing. Yeah, right.
It was like an Etch-a-Sketch animator.
Yeah, exactly. It was even worse, like Game & Watch. There were some very cool features on it.
All right, first of all, play Resident Evil.
Game & Watch had some crisp fucking LCD action going on. That was sharp.
That's true.
Resident Evil on the Dreamcast, you look down, your health and all your, you know, that's one thing about Resident Evil. It's always had this thing of like wanting to be cinematic, but then not really wanting to have a HUD and all your info. Back in the Dreamcast, all that was on your little VMU. There were some cool uses of it, is what I'm trying to get at. And Sega did it first. Innovators of the industry. What happened? How far they've fallen from grace. All they do is put out shit, publish shit games, and somehow take their franchises and rape them further into the ground.
They've gone from that to Sonic Generations coming out this holiday season.
Now, I hadn't really looked at this game, just to get on a side. This is like some new classic but 3D Sonic game or something?
Apparently they're mixing 2D and 3D gameplay.
So, Sonic games have not been good for a really long time. And this guy, Joseph Fick, you probably saw this, but there's a dude that just got tired of that, and he remade Sonic 2 in Unity. And it's like the most amazing looking game, like Sonic rendition I've ever seen. Just one
still
game.
Is it play hot?
Amazing. Oh, it's play hot. I think that might. Here, hang on. I'm gonna look it up. Y'all keep talking.
Well, right. I'm looking at a screenshot of this new Sonic game right now, and what it reminds me of is the first. Well, I think it was called Sonic Adventure, the first one on the Dreamcast, which was. I mean, it was actually a decent Sonic game. The problem is that they brought in all these other stupid characters no one wanted to play, and it had an open world. I mean, Sonic is really it was the precursor to burnout. You just, there's a tube that you run down and awesome shit's happening on.
I mean, I kind of look at it like, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of this quote that winemakers have. So you look at the old 2D Sonic games, and they're awesome. They're like a good wine. You look at the 3D Sonic games, and that is like liquid shit. And so the quote is something like, if you are making wine, if you have a whole barrel of wine and one drop of liquid shit, you will get one barrel of liquid shit.
All right, I'm going to send y'all this link.
All right, look, I'm looking at the screenshot right now. It reminds me of Sonic Adventure, and that was a decent Sonic game. Maybe it won't there be as bad as we know it probably will be.
Like, I'm always willing to be pleasantly surprised, but at this point, I mean, this is Sonic. Like, I'm not expecting anything.
All right, so I'm looking at this video, William Miller, you sent me. Okay, so yeah, it's 2D side scroller Sonic, but made in a 3D engine.
Yeah, but this is like one dude that just got really tired of Sonic not being good anymore, and he made this.
Well, they had what is that, Sonic 4 that came out that visually is a lot similar to this. I hadn't played it really, but
gameplay wise, it sucks.
He took pains to mimic exactly the feel of the old game.
Well, hey, like, you know, newsflash, nobody really wants to play 2D games anymore. I mean, I know, Justin Fick, your heart is broken, but
but you gotta admit, though.
That's not true. There's a huge market for it.
No, I think there is a huge but also niche market. I think if you're trying to appeal to, because I mean, Sonic has always appealed to kids, and I think if you're trying to go for that larger segment, trying to do a 2D game is not going to work. And I think that you can make 3D Sonic good.
Look at something like Super Meat Boy that, you know, like sold like Gamebusters and was up for like Game of the Year. Like, I mean, it's not necessarily a niche title. It's niche in game developers now. It's only niche because it's game developers niche. You know, there's only so many people making them now.
I'm gonna send you guys this image. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is
this Unity fan game though looks hot.
Doesn't that look hot?
It does look good.
I mean, this Sonic game looks hot too. It's just,
I'm saying, look,
I've seen, you know, I've been promised a good 3D platformer Sonic for a long time, and they just have not been able to make
one. I'm holding out hope. I know that it's sort of like, I wish that we talked about this earlier. Mortal Kombat is good again because they took all the people that worked on it for all those years and fired them and then just hired smart people to make it good. That's what needs to happen to Sega. All these people, just fire all of them and hire like a good develop. Like, who's doing Duke Nukem? Get those dudes to make Sonic, and you'll have a good game.
Dude, we could make Sonic. Give us that franchise.
I'm gonna call. Look, I got some Sega contacts. Space Michael.
Oh, ooh la la!
Don't you never forget.
Dude, isn't that game out on Kinect now or something? Can't you get that game somewhere?
Are you talking about Space Channel 5 or Michael Jackson the game?
Space Channel 5.
Oh, yeah, I think...
I can swear that was downloadable somewhere.
I think they are going to re-release it. I think I read that somewhere, but I don't believe
I think it's on PSN or something right now.
Yeah, it's either coming out or already out. But, dude, good game, Space Channel 5. Anyway, moving along. Retailers cut down on M-rated sales to minors. Federal Trade Commission's Secret Shopper Program finds stores following ESRB age guidelines, kids able to buy M-rated games just 13% of the time. Now, I have a friend who works at GameStop, and, I mean, they really do follow this to a T, at least from what I hear from my friend. Because I guess the risk of GameStop being sued over one of these things is far more important than the money, or is far less important. Wait a minute, what am I trying to say? They don't want to get sued rather than making a little money.
And it's the fucking right thing to do, you know? It's like, games are even worse than movies in that they, if given to the little kid, will fuck that kid up. Like,
well,
There's research that's like, oh, well, it doesn't contribute to violent behavior. Whatever. If you give Mortal Kombat to a five-year-old.
But, dude, all three of us played Mortal Kombat when, I mean, I don't know, I'm trying to think how old.
We played Mortal Kombat on the Genesis. I'm talking about, like, the new one.
It was the same. No. Okay, it's more photorealistic, but you still ripped people's spines out and all that stuff. And I mean, we were like eight when that game came out.
It was easier for kids at that time to abstract themselves from because it was like a cartoon more than
it was. Because that's one of the selling points of Mortal Kombat is that they didn't use cartoons. They photographed people.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat was still visceral thing that we'd ever seen.
Dude, you know what blows my mind? Like, there is a Raiden. Like, that is a dude. Like, can you imagine being Raiden and like going to the arcade and like, that is me. Blow my goddamn mind. Anyway, so the Supreme Court is considering the constitutionality of a California law that would make it illegal to sell violent games to children, but the Federal Trade Commission today revealed the results of a secret shopper program showing companies are already far less likely to put M-rated games in kids' hands than they are to sell them R-rated DVDs, tickets to R-rated movies, or CDs with explicit lyrics.
Well, it's kind of funny we're talking about Mortal Kombat because games like that kicked off, you know, the existence of the ESRB in general. I mean,
that's true.
The games industry has always been ahead of public opinion in sort of self-regulating itself because we had, you know, senators trying to impose, you know, legal restrictions on the sale of video games for a long time.
What was the?
But we've always stepped up to the challenge and said, okay, well, we're going to take care of this ourselves, and we're going to make sure that these kids don't buy the games. And we've been, you know, this industry is way better at that than people.
Now,
realize.
Wasn't there a before the ESRB? I believe there was another entity that existed. Because I remember there was, was it called? Because I remember it was like a picture of a bomb was one of their, if there was violence, they had a little bomb picture. And like, I'm trying to remember what this is. I guess I could look it up. But you know what I'm talking about?
I'm looking it up.
I remember this.
I remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember this. They have like MA-17 and MA-13, GA, general audiences. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, this was, in fact, I believe this was started by Mortal Kombat. Let's see. Previous attempts had been making an arcade fighting game with realistic graphics and gore.
It was formed by Sega of America in like 93 or something like that. The Video Game Ratings Council.
Okay. Well, another point I wanted to make about this. Now I wanted to tell you guys this. I've been playing Portal 2 today. I was a little shocked of the rating I saw on the box of Portal 2. Do you know what Portal 2 is rated? E10+. E10+ is the rating, and on the back, let me go get it. Hang on, it's
like right here. What are you shocked it wasn't higher?
I'm back. All right, but okay. E10+, and on the back, the notes it has: fantasy violence, mild language. Those are the two notes it has for parents. Now,
so you're shocked it wasn't a higher rating then?
I think it should be higher. Because, okay, you guys may not have played Portal 2 yet, but it's similar to Portal 1. I would imagine from a just blood and gore perspective, the only thing they've changed is, you know, when you got shot before, how you'd have some blood show up on the floor? That doesn't happen anymore. When you get shot and killed or fall into a puddle of, you know, the acid or whatever, you know, you just, the screen flashes red and then you fall on the ground. Now, I get that there's no actual there's not really any violence on screen. You're not like murdering people or that. But at the same time, you are playing a character who is like likely being murdered over and over again. And you can make the argument, oh, well, in Mario, you die, right? And I don't know. It seems very different to me because of the like macabre atmosphere of Portal. You know what I mean? I mean, no spoiler alert, but
is that enough to up the rating though?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is like in the first few minutes, I'm not going to spoil much for you guys, but in the first few minutes of Portal 2, you find out that there were many, many test subjects with you, and all of them are dead, and the world is some sort of post-apocalyptic state, Right. And it's not really delved into that much, but those are very dark, mature themes. But, oh, if there's not a titty on screen, it's an E. Like, maybe we should look at this from a more, I don't know, intellectual level than I didn't see no blood, so it E.
You'd make a great ESRB ratings person. It E.
Well, I mean, for instance, movies have, it's called either adult themes or adult situations. For something like that.
That's what I'm saying.
I know that because I always used to watch fucking softcore porn on Cinemax as a kid and always used to look for all the like the adult situations, strong sexual content.
I need
content.
Those adult situations.
But yeah, like there is adult themes and adult situations for, you know, if there's not necessarily any violence or language or titties, but it takes place in post-apocalyptic America or something.
All right.
Or the subject matter is very heavy, like maybe it's about abortion or something, right. You know. But necessarily nothing adult is happening.
Right. Well, here's what I'm getting at. Now, God knows, I hope I never reproduce. But if I did, and I had a kid one day, and my kid's growing up, and he's I guess 10, right? 10 plus. He's 10 years old, and he's like, I want to play Portal. It's like, oh, okay, he plays Portal, and then he comes up to me and he says, Daddy, they said that all the other test subjects died in hibernation, and the world was in Armageddon.
Wait,
I don't know if you need to be asking me these
that's not,
questions, little Timmy.
Blake, that's not how this story is going to go. Your kid is going to spend about a half hour trying to wake you up. Stupid before he can ask you that question.
Then hopefully he'll have learned how to dodge the fifth I throw at him.
See? Adult themes.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of very, like, morbid themes in Portal, not the least of which is falling into vats of acid or being crushed by spikes. I mean, I know we don't see the actual violence, but I can imagine a 10-year-old being very, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know about traumatized, but, you know, it's a mature game. Maybe not in the blood and cursing sense, but I don't know. I don't like this.
No, I mean the only thing I could think of is that, you know, because it's a first-person perspective, I mean, just the audio-visual feedback that you're getting of being crushed is actually seeing this wall come down and crush your field of vision. You know, it's right. it is not the same as seeing Mario crushed by spikes. Like, you see his little icon get smashed and he falls off the screen and like,
okay,
that.
If
you're a kid, like maybe the sight of having this wall of spikes come barreling after you and smash you in the face is a little more.
Yeah.
Is a little more impactful. I don't know.
And by the same logic, like, think about Mirror's Edge. I think that game was rated teen, but they could have taken out there was a little bit of blood and you were fighting people, but a lot of that gameplay is, I mean, you fall off a roof and watch yourself fall all the way down until you hit ground and there is just crunch noise. I mean, technically there's no violence on screen, but it's pretty brutal to watch. Every time you fall off, you're like, ah, God damn it. Now I gotta watch what it looks like to leap off a building to your death again. Like, okay, I'm just saying things are mature beyond the simple blood and violence and cursing level. And maybe that should be on the box, and maybe Portal should be rated teen. But oh, I'm an asshole if I think that.
I don't know if it's enough to knock it up to a teen rating, but I mean, movies do that. I mean, movies do have adult themes as a thing.
I know, but so, hardly anything's rated. What is it? G? Is that the? I mean, what's rated G these days? Pixar? Is that? That's. I mean, just like animated movies, right?
Pretty much, Disney movies. Yeah, Disney, Pixar, that kind of shit.
While we're on the topic of Portal, I'll segue into my next news story here. Not much of a story, just one-day sales of Portal. This is not including Steam sales, 4 million copies.
Wow.
Which is a lot, considering... if Call of Duty sold 4 million copies, it'd be like, all right, that sounds about right. You know, this game wasn't big when it came out, the first one. And I mean, I guess it, people got on, but I'm really surprised that they've been able to take, you know, sort of a sleeper hit and turn it into $4 million or 4 million copies in one day.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the first one wasn't big, because as soon as it came out, I think just no one was expecting it to be big.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, okay, people didn't line up for Portal. Okay, is what I'm saying. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was a thing that most people. I mean, you and I and the three of us knew about Portal and knew it would probably be good, but most people didn't have any, you know, idea what the game was.
Yeah, and I don't think Valve really knew, you know, what they had on their hands either. There was probably just this cool little thing that they enjoyed, so they threw it in, you know, and it ended up being, you know, one of the best games of the year. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people, I'll wait for him to get back.
He just left.
When he said I gotta open, I thought he meant like open a beer.
Yeah.
Or open his fly, I don't know.
Sorry, I'm back.
All right. So I think with Portal, it hit a couple things that, you know, that normal games don't do that I think people appreciate it. For instance, the original Portal had maybe 3 or 4 hours of gameplay. And that's something that games just don't do, but because it was this pack-in title, it was, you know, they could get away with having a 3 or 4 hour game. It ended up being paced perfectly. You know, it didn't, you know, it was very dense. It wasn't dragged out. I think, you know, the fact that it had nothing to, I guess no conventions to adhere to meant it could be its own thing. And people really, really took to that.
Well, I think you're right. And look, I'll get into a review of it later. I got a mini judgment. So, we'll get into that later. Anybody got any other news?
Well, I wanted to mention real quick their marketing strategy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
I'm going to hate on it later. So, Justin Fick, why don't you pimp it up so I can knock it down?
All right. So, essentially, it launched with, I don't know if I'd call it an ARG, but it was a promotion. So basically, the game was to help reboot GLaDOS, the psychotic AI from the first game, and you had to do that by, you know, sort of like donating your CPU. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole promotion that had like GLaDOS at home, and to donate your CPU, you had to play one of, I guess it was about a dozen or so.
Yeah, about a dozen, I think.
Indie titles. Okay. And the more people played these titles, the more, you know, they would sort of fill up these bars. So each indie game had a bar, and then if you were able to fill all of them up, and by you I mean everybody in the world, like this is a collective, right, like Nobi Boy Progress type of thing. If all the bars got filled up, they would release Portal 2 early.
Yeah, and I guess it had everybody, literally everybody in the world, because they announced this on, like, Thursday, I think, and the game came out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if everybody in the world had done this, the game would have come out on that Thursday, right?
I mean,
conceivably.
Yeah, conceivably. In the end, the game ended up releasing about 24 hours early, because the other thing that you could do is, these games had, I don't know, not really achievements. It's more like finding the skulls in Halo type of thing, but these potatoes that you could earn. So, like, there's certain weird things you could do in each one of these games to get you to earn potatoes. And there was, like, a global potato count under these bars, and at some point, the auxiliary starch based power would kick in, and then the potatoes would start ticking down, and then the release clock accelerated up a little bit.
Now, okay, now maybe that last part is what I missed, but I really, when I heard about this, Justific, I saw your tweet about it, I was like, oh, what a cool promotion, what a great idea. And then it came, it was like Monday at 6 o'clock, and I was like, let me check out how that thing's going. Surely it's out by now. It still hadn't ended. I think your prediction of 12 hours is not, I think it was more like maybe 6 hours early. It was not.
I thought I said 24 hours. It came out. I thought it came out like a day early.
No. It wasn't nearly. I mean, it was a couple of. I mean, I guess we could go look up the actual timer, but it was a few hours. Which I thought. You know, you started this promo, you got everybody excited, and then instead of 7 a.m., they were going to release it at 7 a.m. on Tuesday. It released at like, you know, I don't know, 1 a.m. on Tuesday. Let me look up the actual thing when it actually came. But it couldn't have been. It was not 24 hours for sure. And I don't even think it was 12 hours. I guess it'd be on Wikipedia. 10 hours before the original purchase.
Okay.
Time. 10 hours. I mean, 10 hours. You're going to do this thing, get everybody excited. 10 hours is, I guess it's, you know, if you're a diehard fan, I guess. But I don't know. It feels like they promised this and we kind of had expectations and it didn't live up to it. I mean,
well, I think most people's complaint was, you know, Valve basically had the game ready, you know, like the promotion started on Thursday or whatever. You know, they could have just fucking released it Thursday is what people
sure.
said.
I mean, just to make the discs, right? I mean, the game was probably gold 3 or 4 weeks ago.
If they had it ready to go by, you know, Tuesday, stores probably had that shit sitting in boxes already for, for a week. You know, or more.
Well, I mean, if for any artist, if you make something, you can control when it's released, and I think that's fine. But to do like, oh, we're going to release it early if you guys do this stuff, and then it's like, oh, well, we really didn't want to release it, but like, you know, a few hours early. It feels like you kind of you promise. I know they didn't technically promise days early, but that's sort of what it seemed implied, and it. I don't know. It did not live up to my expectations, and apparently on their forums, there's a big hoopla about a lot of people are mad about it for the same reason.
You know, I think this would have pissed me off a lot more had they made me do something else. Like, but because they were making me play, you know, indie games, I like that. I like the promotion of that. And so I'll gladly play along, you know, but I could definitely see how this would piss you off if you were a hardcore fan and you're like, okay, I quit playing these stupid games. I just want the tape right now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like the games they were making you play weren't shit. You know, they had. Some of them looked bad, but you know, I mean,
supposedly all of them had Portal themed levels in them too. Like some
they all had some Portal shit in them. But like Super Meat Boy was in the mix. Amnesia: Dark Descent, Bit Trip Beat was in there. Trying to remember, but you know, like Reckless Disregard for Gravity. Like there were some cool games in there. I'm positive that not all of them were phenomenal indie games, but a lot of them were, you know.
Sure.
So these are things where, you know, if you have not played them, you know, you are getting exposed to this cool shit. I mean, they could have picked fucking, you know, AAA garbage.
Well, it comes down, it's basically Peter Molyneux syndrome. Don't promise me the world and, you know, give me the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta. Well, I mean,
yeah. I think the thing is, like, I don't know. Maybe people's perceptions of the promise was a lot more than what it actually was. Because you know, like when I was looking at it, like I actually thought that, you know, if they fill up all their bars, they release it on the spot, and if nothing happens, then nothing happens. So you could technically get to 99% on all of them, and you don't get shit, but you get something. You know, so it was actually more than what I perceived it to be. So I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. So it seemed like for every game that filled up to 100%, it would knock off a good chunk of time for each game that filled up. So I don't know. I thought it was cool. Like, you know, maybe they could have knocked more time off from, you know, I don't know. But
I just read this at the bottom of this article, and this is like a totally different. Like conversation, but I just thought it was interesting. I wanted to see what you guys thought about it. The Steam version of Portal 2 on Windows and Mac OS X includes bonus content based on the 2011 film Super 8. The content is a small level inspired by the film constructed within the Source engine. That's a little weird. That's a little strange.
Yeah, that's a first.
Yeah, a level, I guess, based on a movie that isn't out yet. Oh.
Interesting.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, they got all sorts of marketing ideas.
It kind of says this, yeah, it's more like an interactive trailer from what I'm reading here.
All right. Well,
it's a cool little thing for getting the uh, in the Steam version, which is what they want.
Right. All right. Well, just Vic, Weemill, you guys got any more news?
I got one more. As far
what you got,
as,
boys?
As far as next consoles goes. So I mentioned.
We were going to save this for the end, right? So we get over to here. Short thing first. Talking about new consoles and the future of consoles, let's go back to things that should be dead and are. The PSP Go production officially ends. Japanese outlets quote Sony as saying that the manufacture of the short-lived handheld has ended and that the company wants to focus now on the NGP. You know, I really like the PSP Go, but you gotta just...
Like, Buck is so exasperated about this.
Well, I don't know.
I'm kind of with him. Like, it sort of follows my, you know, my Sony curse theory. Like, it's a really cool piece of hardware. Like, I really liked it. Like, you know, it's this it's a small little thing that you could fit in your pocket and you flips open and there's the controls. Like, you know, the controls felt, they weren't phenomenal, but they were pretty damn good for what it was, for a flip PSP, but somehow they fucked it up.
I even like the idea of not having to buy games and being able to just download games. I have my whole game collection with me at all times.
That was the coolest thing about that is it had no UMD drive. I was like, fuck yeah, that's exactly what they need to be doing.
Because, dude, I remember when I used to play my PSP, I put them in Altoids tins.
Yeah,
like what do you do with too. They're such a fucking awkward shape. What do you do?
And the thing is, the Altoids tin was only big enough to hold three games in it.
Yeah.
So it's like pick your three favorite PSP games and carry them around.
There's only one solution to that. Stop playing PSP.
Yeah. That's what I did. Yeah, my solution to that was never buy more than three PSP games ever.
So, I guess it's officially over. You can't blame them. You know, I can see why this didn't catch on, but, you know, I do. I'm with you, Jessica. I wish this had gone somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, you know, as much as I wanted that to work, like, I do agree that that's the right choice. Like, they have a new console to be focusing on. They should focus on that. You know, basically, kill the baby with the PSP Go. Just let it go. You know,
it'll be one of those forever forgotten systems, you know, but there are a handful of them. We got, you know, like the Virtual Boy, you know, went around, but for about a year or two, the Neo Geo Pocket Color forever forgotten. What mm-hmm. are some other ones? What's that? Oh, I can't remember the name of it now. God, the Lynx. Good Lord.
Oh God. Yeah.
But it's joined the ranks of like, just ideas that just never happened. Maybe it'll be worth something one day. Somebody out there with their NGPs like, thank God I got it now, while the getting was good. Stockpile them. Anyway, Jessica, you got one last story for us, right?
Yes, I do. So, tying into Nintendo's next console, this is about Sony's and Microsoft's next consoles. So, they are actually said to be colluding to not announce anything this E3. And currently the speculation is that they are holding off until the year 2014
to launch their new console. So future. Like 2014. We're gonna have space cars by 2014. But it's not so far.
The thing is 2011 sounds like future.
Yeah, somebody better be blowing me every time we do this podcast by 2014. God damn. In my fucking palace. The fuck? Will we be doing this show in 2014?
You gotta monetize that shit, Blake Buck.
Or at least sexitize it.
Yeah. Are you don't monetize, you sexitize it. Find out how we can do this podcast for sex.
Look, we got Doris Butterino, all right? I got her on tap. Don't you worry.
what does that even mean?
No, you know,
is she like waiting in the wings for you?
Dude, look, she hasn't sent any emails because she's shy. All right? And I understand that and I respect it, but I know she wants me. This is what I tell myself when I meet any woman for the first time.
See, there you go, Blade Bug. You seem to get Doris Butterina to adopt the three of us as, like, personal sex slaves or something and make us do podcast for her.
I don't know if I like this anymore. All right, well,
my favorite thing is, like, she's probably our only female listener, and she's fake.
All right.
I don't even know what a woman is anymore.
Anyway, this totally, I mean, you're like, oh, they're speculating. Of course, why wouldn't why would Microsoft or Sony announce anything this year? It would seem like a bad move to do so, even if they did have something on the horizon.
Well, they're kind of making Nintendo the odd man out here. You know, they're kind of forcing Nintendo to, you know, release on, you know, announce and have its whole schedule on its own, and they will be the next generation in 2014, and Nintendo will just have its thing. You know, yeah. It's kind of smart on their part. You know, it's sort of like majority rules on when the next generation of consoles starts.
Yeah, man, they're hiding their power. It's real smart. They're going to let Nintendo do their thing.
Haven't they always done that? I mean, hasn't Nintendo always been the first? No, I guess the PlayStation 2 was before the 6. Wait, no, it wasn't. It was before the GameCube. Oh, wait, which came first? The PlayStation 2? PlayStation 2 came out, then GameCube. And then Xbox? Man, I can't even remember now. Well, I think, but certainly the past at least one or two console generations, Nintendo has been the first to the table. So, I mean, I can see how maybe that's a smart move. You can outpace them technology wise if you wait, but oh god, it feels like Nintendo is kind of dominated by the gimmick.
Well, it's, you know, I think their move to the gimmick was very smart with the Wii. I mean, sure. It's basic I mean, you know, it's not basic marketing, but you know, one of the rules of marketing is, you know, you have the first place person and the second place person, and there is no third place.
Right.
You know, and they saw that. They knew that they were sort of falling behind, and that Sony and Microsoft had the powerful consoles that were sort of locking horns in the first and second place positions, and they needed to do something different, and they made their own market. I mean, that's exactly what they needed to do.
I think if Nintendo, I mean, potentially if they announce it this year, right, it comes out next year, they've beaten them by 2 years. And I mean, they could draw in a lot of third party support, and they could reestablish themselves as the graphic fidelity leaders and perhaps bring in some of the hardcore demographic that they've lost with the Wii and the GameCube.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, that's what they'll do. I mean, you know, for instance, if they come out with, you know, a console that is just as powerful as the 360 and the PS3, that has a controller that is just basically the bottom half of a DS Lite, you know, which has a phenomenal D-pad and buttons and everything, just the perfect number of buttons. And, you know, like, they really could start busting out some hardcore games with that.
Well, but goddamn, that's, I mean, the other thing is, can you imagine how much, if that was their trick, is that they've got this controller with the screen? I mean, Microsoft's wireless controllers are $60. Probably each additional controller would be in the $80 to $90 price range.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say earlier. I think that thing's going to, like, kick the price point up quite a bit. Also,
it depends on what type of screen. Like you have, like, a, you know, the bottom screen of a DS with no touch control, then, you know, okay, well, that's not too bad. But, if, you know, if they're talking iPad with buttons...
Or the VMU from the Dreamcast. That costs like nothing.
Yeah, it costs like 3 cents.
Now, I'm going to be the first to call this, y'all. We had the pumpkin with the Xbox, the original Xbox pumpkin. This is going to be the pancake. Coined it. That's copyright. Wade Miller. The pancake. It's going to be a, like, if it's indeed what they say, an iPad with buttons, it's going to be like holding a pancake.
It doesn't necessarily. I mean, I think you could have a. I mean, because most controllers, if you just look at, I mean, there is a bit of space in the middle, and I think it would just be a very wide controller more than anything.
The thing I think if they could just lose, like, because like every controller has had middle buttons, start and select.
Blake, are you recording like outside or something?
No, that's coming from Justin
Fick.
All my windows, dude. I'm in New Jersey. That should tell you everything you need to know.
Fair enough.
So I honestly think it's just a cop car and an ambulance driving circles around one city block.
It's calling all cars outside your David Jaffe is actually orchestrating that from on high.
Yeah, they're just driving in circles to remind everyone in Jersey where they live.
All right, so are there any more details specifically or anything?
No, this is purely speculation.
All right, well, it seems, you know, that I think about it, I don't know about the word tablet to me implies large. And I think if we did see something like this from Nintendo, it would be much smaller on the terms of like the DSi screen size on a Xbox controller. That seems more likely to me than a tablet with buttons on the side.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, sort of what I was saying before the fucking apocalypse started driving around my building. But, you know, like, if you look at these controllers, like, every one of them has middle buttons, and it's just two, start and select. And, you know, like, the DS sort of moved them off to the side, and it's really not that big a deal to move them off to the side. You can put something else in the middle.
Yeah.
You know? Like a screen.
I think this could be smart if it's done right, but it could go wrong so many different ways.
Like I will know if this is cool as soon as I can see a picture of that controller.
Yeah. This is going to be like fastest decision ever.
Yeah, pretty much. Like bottom half of DS, thumbs up. You know, iPad with buttons, thumbs down.
Yeah, like the future of Nintendo is going to hang in that 1 second of when the photons leave the screen of the press release I'm reading to when they hit my eyeballs. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you're looking to invest, BDPE stock exchange, this will be a 1 second buy sell.
Yeah. And what happened? I don't know what happened with that. Who is it? Pete B? Where are my BDPE bucks? Where are they? I want some. I don't want to pay for them, but I want them. Did he ever set some up in the forum? I thought he was going to set some up in the forum. I hadn't been checking it.
I don't know. I think we just like assumed he was going to do that and didn't actually ask.
Well, do
him
it,
to do that.
Idiot. We're trying to make money. Trying to get paid, son.
Trying to monetize that shit.
No, sexitize that shit.
Yeah, I guess technically, if we use our dividends to buy a prostitutes, then we can turn monetize into sexitize.
All right. Well, anything else on this console heat?
Nope, that's it.
All right, time for releases. All right, guys. This week we got Darkspore. Darkspore is an online science fiction action role-playing game. Oh, boy.
Now, hang on. Don't poo-poo
on this yet. On everything. Don't you tell me not to poo-poo
on this.
The
thing is, the only word I don't inherently like about this is online. Like,
that's
science
true.
Fiction action role-playing game sounds kind of cool.
It's kind of...
I mean, that's all they say about it, but...
I'm looking at some screenshots. It looks like a combination of, like, Diablo and, like, Phantasy Star Online.
Dude, it's cool. They took Spore... And they just they didn't know what to do with it, so they made something completely different. And that's like a big risk.
Wait, is it
like
actually made by the Spore people?
It's Maxis, right?
Yeah.
Wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is the Spore game that they just took it, threw out all the shitty stuff, and are trying to put good stuff in it. I just think it's a good
idea. Yeah, you're right. I had no idea.
Direction. Yeah.
All right. Well, now that this is not from some like, I mean, okay, I see the name Darkspore. I'm thinking like. Like Banana Interactive is making it. But if that is
now the name of our future game development studio. Banana Interactive.
Well, okay, now this has some clout behind it. I mean, maybe, but I'm looking at screenshots. Still looks pretty generic to me. It looks, I mean, Diablo clone meets StarCraft clone meets I've closed the window. I don't even know at this point. Has anybody heard anything about this? Like,
I've not heard a thing about this before 10 seconds ago.
Hmm.
I've been looking at it a little bit. It's just what it sounds like. I mean, it's a Diablo-esque role-playing game made with the Spore tech and the Spore people.
It seems like because Spore's always been kind of a family-friendly game, and it seems like they're sort of getting away from that market by doing this.
Well, they totally missed the boat on that. I mean, they didn't sell well.
I thought did it not? I thought it
mainly
did.
Because
I thought Spore did all right.
I
didn't think it was a flop.
No, dude, not to warrant its development costs and the time.
But I thought. Well, yeah.
I mean, it didn't sell the 8 million units it needed to break even. It didn't even come close.
People
were expecting the second coming of Christ to jump out of their DVD box. And it was really just 7 okay mini games.
It suffered from the covert action.
It was still good. I mean, it wasn't awful, right? It was awful.
It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't that great. Honestly, if they just charged for the creature creator, they would have sold fucking gangbusters.
I was gonna say, don't say gangbusters.
Too late. The thing is, I haven't had that split second where I was like, I gotta think of something else to say besides gangbusters, and I was like, fuck it. but the day that Creature Creator came out, like, the internet exploded. I mean, it exploded with dicks, but it's, you know, like the internet responded to it in, you know, a huge way.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't think I ever finished Spore. I got, like, most of the way through, and I was like, ugh. Ugh. Nice try. Good effort, team. Pat on the back.
Well, I think the other thing that people kind of forget, like, Maxis is kind of a coin flip company. Like, Will Wright's kind of a coin flip guy. Like, SimCity, awesome. SimEarth, no one gave a shit about SimEarth.
Well,
SimEarth, awesome.
Now,
SimLife,
did they make...
no one gave a shit about SimLife.
Wait for a second. Now, there were, just to get technical, there were many, many, many Sim games, and I do not believe they made most of them. I believe most of those were licensed out to other companies. I wish I knew the actual, but I know that they made The Sims.
He did make Sim.
Did he make
Earth.
Sim Ant?
I don't know if he made Sim Ant, but he certainly made Sim.
I gotta look it up now. Gotta pull up the... Man... I'm getting on Wikipedia every show now. I got to know these things.
SimAnt was designed by Will Wright. SimEarth was designed by Will Wright. SimLife was designed by Will Wright.
Oh, God. No, they all were. Okay, never mind. I take it back. SimCopter, SimPark, SimGolf, SimTunes, Full Tilt Pinball, Marble Drop. Oh, my God. SimSafari. Yeah, there are a lot of stinkers in this bunch. Oh,
I mean, the only one that I would say wasn't designed by Will Wright himself was Sim Tower.
Yeah, Sim Tower, Sim Health, Sim Isle. Those are the three that weren't developed. They were just a name associated, but were not developed.
It's kind of a coin flip. I mean, like. You know, I played a lot of Sim games. Like, I had Sim Earth and Sim Ant and Sim Life. And, you know, like, the thing is, like, some of them really, I don't know, it's not, I guess the word is resonate, but they're really interesting to play with. Like, Sim Ant was incredibly interesting to keep playing with. Sim Life, not at all. You know, it was pretty much just draw a penis as your little animal icon, just watch it multiply into like tons and tons of dicks, and that was kind of it, you know. So I mean, it was a coin flip, and just it was a coin flip with Spore, and it came up shit.
Well, I mean, it did not come up shit. Spore is not a shit game.
It's not a shit game, but that's the side of the coin it came up with. It's either comes up awesome or it comes up shit.
It's not a shit game, but everybody could tell, at least you know all the designers that I knew at the time believed that game was not going to be good because it just violated so many like basic understandings that we build games on. You know, don't pack 5 okay games in one game and expect it to be good. You know, you just don't do that.
Well, also, the other thing too is the part of Spore that blew people away was the creature creator. The fact that you can create anything you want, and it procedurally generates all the animations that you need, like walking and fucking and whatever your creature in Spore does, that was awesome. And they proceeded to not make a game around that.
Yeah, I think the main thing here is that I think the longer... Okay, let's whatever. Regardless of the game you're making, let's just say even if a AAA game, what's the life cycle? What's the number of years of development of a AAA game? I would say on average 3 to 4 most AAA games. Okay, is that can we agree on that? Whenever you go above that, your game is shit. Can you name a game that was in development for years and years and years and then came out and was a smash hit? I can't think of any. Even like okay, as much as I love them. As much as I love this game, Alan Wake, made by Remedy, that game was in development for ages and ages and ages, and it finally comes out, and it was pretty good, but, you know, I think if you get a game with these huge life cycles that go on forever and ever, they always end up shit.
Well, I think it's sort of, I think there's two types of delays as well. I mean, like, there's the, we just fucked up, and we didn't make this game fast enough, or... We came up with a too aggressive of a schedule kind of delays, which, you know, right. You know, for instance, that's what's hitting the, you know, the Last Guardian and the Team Ico collection. Like, you know, maybe they just they couldn't do it fast enough. So you have a delay of a couple months. There's also the we have fucked up on such a fundamental managerial level that this game will never come out in any sort of good way. That those are the delays that come out in, you know, that hit you at, like, you know, like a year at a time. You know, things like
nobody was watching. It's like the kids are all hitting each other with sticks and nobody was watching.
Yeah,
you gotta watch your kids.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, Duke Nukem Forever, like no one, or like Daikatana, like those games, like the management of those games was so fundamentally fucked up. That game was never going to come out in any good way.
I look, you guys have poo-pooed the new one. I'm still reserving judgment for the new Duke Nukem. Don't be hating.
Well, see, here's the thing with the new Duke Nukem. It's going to be okay, because here's what happened. It's not the game that's been in development for 30 years or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, basically, they just took the IP, they fired everybody, they said, fuck all y'all, and fuck all your assets, and fuck all your work. And we're just going to have Gearbox make something in a year.
Right. Exactly. And that's what fucking Mortal Kombat did. Oh, my God. Mortal Kombat has released shit game after shit game after shit game for almost 20 years now. And finally, thank God, somebody beat them with the stick and said, no, you don't get to take this good thing and make it shit for the rest of time. Somebody with talent is going to make this thing good like it should be. So, Maxis, Darkspore, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, fucking, we're supposed to be doing releases. How did we get this? Good God. All right, somebody take these next few.
Dude, we got IL2 Sturmovik Cliffs of Dover, starring Eric Johnson.
Dude, have you seen, look at the screenshots of this game. Just like look at one of them. Like... This looks like the worst. It's got like
the first picture is just
what looks like a Windows 3.1 era interface for the map. Some just like debug text on the screen and some like some plane that a 2-year-old made in 3D CMS.
Who is playing flight simulators at all these days is the first question. But second,
the thing is, like, stuff like flight simulators is like a super niche audience,
right?
Like there's only like 15 of them, but they'll go buy like a $15,000 like playing console and stick it in their basement so they can play these with maximum immersion.
Well, dude,
this actually looks really detailed. Like, if you look at these cockpit shots, oh my God. How do you play this game?
Have you seen the new Ace Combat? I think Ace Combat 6 or 7? Dude, Ace Combat, hands down, best like mainstream plane game that's been released in the past decade. Easily.
Wow.
Did you play Ace Combat 6? I think it was 6, Fires of Liberation. It came out maybe...
Is this the franchise that started on Sega CD?
I think so, yeah. It's Bandai Namco.
I haven't played
the new one.
One
it came out maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was fucking fantastic. And the new one they got, you're like... I watched the trailer. It was like Call of Duty, the trailer to it. And it's like, it looked amazing. How can... my first flight sim here compete against that.
Well, I mean, apparently it's not, because GameSpot reviewed it and gave it a 4.0. You know, and you know, like the other game that got reviewed, it got a 5 or something. Like, since games are reviewed on an 8 to 10 scale, getting a 4.0 is basically saying that, you know, like, this game will give you cancer.
I don't want cancer. I wish I could show you guys a screenshot of Ace Combat 7, how good it looks compared to this. But I can't seem to find any. But they had a trailer to it, and it's just like literally, you could have flipped to Call of Duty at the same time, and you would have not have known the difference. That's how good it looked. It's cinematic. The last level of Ace Combat 6, you're fighting, like, basically a city that flies, and planes come out of it. It was insane. Oh, so good. I can't wait for that. Anyway, moving along. What else we got on the release window?
We got Operation Flashpoint Red River. So this is a game about menstruation, as far as I can tell. There goes our last female listener.
She is mad.
We have Tom Clancy's End War with World in Conflict. That is a mouthful.
Dude, we are... Man, I would hate to be Tom...
I think it's a bundle. I think that's a bundle. I think, like, World in Conflict is, yeah, it's a bundle of two popular Tom Clancy games. That's not one Tom Clancy game, although it's not that far away from what the title of one of these things could be.
Dude, Tom Clancy, I'd hate to be him now. Like, my name is just associated with whatever shit people put out. Like, Tom Clancy toast fucking Pop-Tart Recon.
Dude, I would play the shit out of that.
If they
let you
ops.
Choose your flavor.
No, it's just Pop-Tarts with Tom Clancy's name on it. It's not a game.
Just a box of Pop-Tarts.
They've got...
Dude, I love this next release. Jurassic Park : the game.
Dude, actually, this looks the thing is, you laugh. I read the description. I'm kind of excited for this.
I'm dead serious. Like, Telltale made this? Dude, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm ready for this game.
I mean, they've done such a good job with their... I haven't played it, but I think Back to the Future, that one's... the first episode of their Back to the Future game is free. They changed... Yeah. And, oh, man. I mean, Telltale is bringing back the adventure gaming genre.
Oh, yeah, for real.
Fucking fantastic. Excellent work. And I'm sure this one is going to be... just as good. I mean, I'm looking at screenshots. It looks great.
I just love how this just... I can't even think of the word for it, but this assumes that it is the game to end all Jurassic Park games.
Yeah.
I guess it is the only one that's being made ever right now, but still, it's just like... It's not some, you know... It doesn't pretend to be some offshoot of the genre or to make room for other titles that may or may not be out. No, it's just
game. I am looking at the... I flipped through the... And it does look like... I don't know if it follows the story exactly. I'm looking at some of this concept art. I don't recognize any of these characters. So it might be more or less loosely based on the movie with... Because, I mean, how could you possibly get... what's his name again? What's his name? Oh, come on. When you gotta go, you gotta go. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum. I mean, there's no way you can secure those rights. It's impossible to get Jeff Goldblum rights. And if I could, I'd sell them to fucking Pop-Tarts.
Well, I want to even say that, you know, the movie itself had a lot of differences from the book. I mean, I've never read the book. But, I mean, the movie takes a whole lot of liberties with, you know, with what happened in the book. So, I mean, this might be
another reimagining. Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's I trust Telltale. Like, I'm like,
it's a real simple IP to play with. It's a park with Jurassic.
Bored.
This is not that difficult.
Meeting over. Yeah. Let's go get lunch. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, they could put any bunch of schmucks into, you know, it as your cast of characters, and the thing is, it can work. Because you're not playing for the, like, I don't give a, you know, like Jeff Goldblum's kind of cool. I don't give a shit about any other character in that. You know, I play this to see dinosaurs in park.
You know, when Telltale asked me to make the sequel to this game, which they inevitably will, I'm going to tell them one thing. If you want to top what you just made, which is going to be hard because I'm assuming this is going to be a good game, you just got to put two rocks.
Yeah, I think it's time for these two IPs to converge.
It's inevitable. I mean, they have to. Like, where's Turok going to go when he warps to the future? He's got to go to Jurassic Park where the dinosaurs
are. Yeah, but the only thing is that the fog follows him. He can only see 3 feet in front of him. That's the real enemy of that game. It wasn't the dinosaurs.
Yeah, in this one, you actually play the dinosaurs, and this fog has befallen your land.
Yeah, he warps into downtown L.A., just like the Beastmaster did. Except unlike the Beastmaster, he's got this fog all over the place. Nobody can actually see him. It's just this, like, rain cloud moving down the street.
It's not like this evil guy or anything. It's just a pain in the ass. We can't see shit anymore.
It's a localized Turok-centered rain cloud.
And you don't even really have to kill him. You just convince him to leave.
You don't want Turok coming to your parties. Aw, Turok! It's fucking raining, man.
Sorry.
I can't see the fucking band anymore, dude. Party foul.
So I'm looking on the website here. I don't see this specifically, but if they do it like Back to the Future, the first episode is free, $30 for the whole series. And at the end, which I guess will be coming out over 5 parts, and at the end, they send you a DVD with all of them and some bonus content.
Nice.
How cool is that? These guys are really smart marketers. I don't know why I'm not buying this. I am. Purchase. Where do I get? Done. Bah.
Is it on the App Store? It says Mac. Does it?
I don't know. No, they kind of have their own thing, because I don't know if they're going to go through the App Store or not. They have their own sort of marketplace on this. Just go to telltalegames.com to get some more. It's looking hot, though. Looking hot. Excellent work, Telltale. We'll keep you guys. Look, I'm going to buy that next week. That's going to be my judgment next week. All right. I guess there's not really too much else on here. Yeah.
Dude, they're making a game out of Man versus Wild.
Trouble Witches Neo. What the fuck is this? Not even any screenshots, just a name. Is this like Gal Fighter? Y'all remember that, like, that was on like Neo Geo way back in the day?
No. I don't know. For genre, it says other shooters.
Oh.
Or is it like Gal Gun? Jessica, you know Gal Gun, right?
No, I don't actually. What is Gal Gun?
Oh, dude. I'm surprised you had to see this on Kotaku. Gal Gun is like this embattled Japanese, like, it's not hentai, but it's pretty close. It's like a, you know, sort of a, it's like a sort of a perverted shooter mm-hmm. game where you like shoot girls.
Oh, you're talking about Gal Panic. Is that what you're trying? That's the Quix clone.
No. Gal Gun. It's like a shooter. It's a first person shooter, but you're trying to shoot their panties. And like, it's had this long, protracted development cycle because the various ratings boards have been like, no, you can't show panties. Well, fuck, our whole game is screwed. Let's go back and fix it. And it's so funny because they know their audience really well. They built this game so that you could push, like, I guess it's start and select at the same time, and it'll bring up like something that looks like an old Dragon Quest on NES real quick so that you can quickly hide the fact that
it has boss mode.
I'm serious. I'm totally serious. It's got like, yeah, it's got parents in my room mode.
Do you remember like when Mac games to have the boss key where you can hit it and it brings up a spreadsheet?
Yeah, like all the old Ambrosia's games had that like boss key where it's like, oh, now I'm in Excel.
Yep.
Wait, what is this? I never heard of this.
Not just Mac, but like just old like shareware games back in the day would have a key command you could hit that would pull up something that looked like work. But usually they would have jokes in them. Like, it would be like, I don't know if Ambrosia, like, specifically, but, you know, let's say you're playing, what's that? Oh, the Centipede clone Ambrosia made?
Aperon.
Right. You're playing that game, and it would say, like, how many units of Centipede do we have? How many mushrooms do we have?
Pretending to work. Progress bar.
Right. Anyway, I guess that's all for releases. It's time for feedback. Oh my God, y'all, hour and a half. I don't know how it's gotten so long. Oh, look, we'll just have to skip feedback till next week, and I gotta get back to playing Portal and drinking anyway. So that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
That was a damn good show.
If you guys got any feedback for us, we'll get to that next week. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com or call the listener line 845-BATTLE-9. Let's see. Oh, we gotta. I keep forgetting to say this. We gotta thank Craig Reed, our audio editing hero, for editing the shows for us. And anybody else? Thanks to Studio Sushi as well for helping out on the site and TK and all that jazz. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think that's it.
Well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.